20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks for joining us again today. My name is Dan Connick, and I am joined by my two cohorts during a rather quiet portion of the offseason. Guys, we got like almost nothing to talk about, but it's Eli Berkovitz and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing? How are you handling this dead period between OTAs and actual start of training camp? The news dead period, like the dead month.
Jen?
Obviously, I'm filling my time with hockey. I actually did watch some basketball, so I did watch the Bucks game 7 when the hockey game wasn't on, so that was exciting considering I really don't care about basketball, but even that had me sweating, so glad to see they won. And yeah, hockey, when hockey ends, then it'll be true dead period for me, but I'm still getting by with some sports for now.
Well, Saturday had an exciting basketball game and hockey game. The end to that Islanders-Tampa Bay game.
Insane. Was that the one with the crazy save at the end?
Yes.
Yep.
And then I think what the Islanders won, right? And you guys hate the Islanders?
Yeah, McDonough, I hate the Islanders.
Had the spin move, backhand shot that could have tied the game. And yeah, I can't remember exactly which Islanders guy it was. I think it starts with
It wasn't even the goalie. The defenseman came in behind.
It was very impressive. Yeah, so and I'm cheering for the Lightning, so I was like, I was upset, but I have to respect a great save like that from a skater coming in. And then I flipped over the Bucks game and I was like, this is also stressful. It was just, you know, all these teams that I'm not exactly heavily invested in that are causing me a lot of stress.
It's a lot of secondhand stress.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That reminds me of I think I said on the show before, I used to play hockey, but I don't always play goalie, but for like a couple months, I tried skating out, see how I would do, and I would usually be a defenseman, and when someone's taking a slap shot at you, and you know, usually you try to block it like the men that hockey players are, me, I basically throw my stick up in the air, turn around, and go into the fetal position. The puck hits me right in the calf. I thought I broke my leg. It hit me so hard, and I didn't have like hockey socks on because I'm just the worst, and it stung. And it was there for a solid 3 months, just deep bruise of a puck in my thigh. And yeah, went back to goalie immediately after that. Never to skate out again.
Wait. You say it hit you in the calf and you had a bruise on your thigh?
Sorry, I meant calf. I'm saying I turned around. Okay. I meant calf. I turned
it
around.
It hit you so hard that it bruised a completely different part of your body.
Yeah, I know. It hit me in the right arm and my left foot was killing me. No. But yeah, my left calf will never be the same. That's the gist of the story. And I won't skate out.
And that concludes our hockey portion of the podcast.
I know, Dan, last time we were recording,
we went like 20 minutes.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I know. That was rough. That was rough. I'm still not over it. And that's exactly why I'm rooting against the Islanders now.
I do partially feel like I need to blame Andy Herman because he came on the show and told me that he was rooting against the teams that I was rooting for. And then both of them lost. So
Andy.
I kind of have to blame the Podfather on that one.
We always need a scapegoat. Yeah. And it looks like, the Podfather, Andy Herman. He's my dude. All right. Good job, Andy. Thank you for causing. Now, all right, maybe I'll just root against the Bucks then, Andy. How's that sound?
Oh wow.
No, congratulations to the Bucks, because that was a fun game to watch, and I'm excited to see what they keep doing. Like I kind of said, guys, we're in this like weird little dead period because we've moved past OTAs and mini camps, and so there's nothing going on team wise really until we get to the start of training camp in a couple of weeks. And so we decided today we're gonna keep it pretty straightforward. Not our usual brand of wacky off the wall, you know, which five Packer players would you take on a trip to the moon kind of thing. we're gonna look at the roster as a whole. I'm gonna go down the list with all three of us, position group by position group, and based on what we've seen at OTAs and mini camps, let's make a roster projection. All right, we'll go through each group here, see where everybody stands, discuss them a little bit. We were talking off air. I think there's only going to be like maybe a couple, like there's only like probably three or four groups I can think of that are really going to I think cause like some strife or have some real differences between them, between all of us. But either way, let's go down the list here. Let's start with the most important group, and that is special teams, guys. All right, who is your three special teams players? Who's your kicker? Who's your punter? Who's your long snapper? Go.
Well, obviously, I have Mason Crosby. I do have J.K. Scott. And long snapper, I think it's Hunter Bradley.
Yeah. I figured I wanted to just get that one out of the way because we all know that that's –
I am in the same boat, and I assume you are as well, Dan.
Even though I was the one in the Game On Wisconsin series, if you were Goody, I did propose the idea, float the idea of cutting Mason Crosby over the summer. But I'm glad that the gray haired
you keep the Silver Fox. Come on.
Yeah. And the Silver Fox is back.
Mason Crosby, he's done far too much for us as a people. No.
As a people. Like as human beings as a whole?
Yes,
or
as a whole. As the whole people
as
of
the human race.
Yeah.
More controversial. Quarterback group. Where do you guys – we've talked about this before. We've all got interesting opinions on the Aaron Rodgers saga. So where do you stand out of OTAs? How does the quarterback group look for you guys?
Kick this one off, and I think it's pretty straightforward. Rodgers, Love. And then, I mean, it feels like it's a little bit less straightforward if they're going to keep three. Last year they had to keep three because they had to keep Love. But I do think they'll stick with three again and stick with Bortles because, honestly, if Rodgers comes back, I don't know if Love is, like, automatically the backup. For all we know, Bortles is the second-string guy, and Love spends another year in sweats. I really don't know for sure. So I'm going to go with Rodgers, Love, and Bortles as of now.
I actually, I had the same thing. It makes me really sad because I really like Benkert, and I kind of hope that maybe they pick him up as a practice player kind of guy, resign him that way. But I mean,
I was going to go with Benkert.
Bortles, you assume it's not just for a summer camp.
Yeah. I mean, also, I just feel like Bortles, if signing, you know, knock on wood, were to happen to number 12, and let's say even if Love is the number two, but Love, let's say, comes in and clearly isn't ready, you'd want to have that veteran in Bortles. And even though Bortles is Bortles, he's still a veteran. You don't want to be stuck between choosing either an undeveloped Jordan Love or Kurt Benkert. You know what I'm saying?
He's also just a massive dude, too.
Bortles, yeah. He's ripping cigs, man.
I think that I just think that he'll benefit more. I do see them keeping three quarterbacks. I do see Aaron Rodgers being there. Kurt Benkert is like kind of my fan favorite right now. I don't want to see him go, but if I have to be realistic, I don't see him making the cut on the 53 man, but hopefully they can find a way for him to come back in some way.
See, here's our first disagreement. Cause I only see them keeping the two. I see it being Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. And what I imagine the plan is with Blake Bortles, because let's be honest, I don't think that there's a situation right. The only situation I could kind of see is if something happens in Houston where, you know, Deshaun Watson isn't able to go or isn't ready to play, or there's an emergency kind of quarterback thing that comes up. Basically, what I kind of envision their idea with this is bring Bortles in for camp. Get him familiar with how their system is working. Get him some reps. Help him out with, you know, just put him into camp. Have a body in there for him. And then if the situation comes up down the road where it ends up being Jordan Love, the starter, for whatever reason, injury or whatever, you have a guy that's probably going to be sitting out there somewhere, most likely sitting out there somewhere as a free agent waiting to be picked up, that has experience with your players and had time in training camp over the summer. I don't think that they're planning on him being a bona fide emergency plan, but I think it's more of a, let's bring him in, have the opportunity. And then if it comes up later on down the road, we know that we have something out there that we could try to go get. So I'm going to go with just two quarterbacks.
Running with two.
Yeah. Running back group. I think this is going to be an interesting spot here too. I mean, the first two are, I think the first two are obvious for all of us. It's obviously A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. That third one, though, you're at least going to have three running backs on this roster. So who do you guys, who did you guys end up going with, Janelle?
Kylan Hill.
That's who I went with as well.
Yeah. Eli? Williams' time is up.
I'm with you guys. I think Kylan Hill fought, like, he was one of my favorite picks of the draft. I know he had some off the field issues. That's why he didn't play a ton his final year in college, but his tape, I said it, whether it was on this show or on Open Book, but he looks like a crossover of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. Like, straight up, he is extremely quick and shifty, but also thick and able to run over you. And I think Hill's for sure going to be the three. And I don't know how you're going to work three running backs into the offense, but soon enough, I think Kylan Hill is going to show he was a major steal in the seventh round. I'm really excited about him.
Yeah, I think with the guys that you have, the options that you have available right now on that roster, like, you know, it's basically between, I feel like the options are Dexter Williams or Hill.
And then there's like Patrick Taylor.
And Patrick Taylor. But I think with Hill being the most recent draft pick, he has sort of that edge that if all three play equally, Hill has that sort of edge because you invested that capital and he's the most recent draft pick, you know?
Yeah. It is weird, though. Dexter Williams, it seems like he's been around so much longer than he actually has.
Yeah, it's only been, it's only been year three now, right?
Yeah, I think he has 2 years experience, so
going into year three. But the problem is,
he's been around, he should be signing a five-year extension or something, but it's just... Yeah, it's unfortunate because there were always those little moments where you're like, maybe he could be something, maybe he could do something, but it just always seems like they kind of skip over him and pull somebody else into a role that he could fill.
Right. Moving down the list offensively, another group, I think this is the one for me out of the whole offense, I think is where we kind of see how you – or how any of us kind of project how this offense is going to look. Wide receiver group, basically how many are you going to keep around? I think there's at least a solid four that you can say are on this roster right away. So after that, it becomes a little bit more nebulous with how you want to play it. Eli, give me your wide receiver group.
Yeah, so like you said, the four that I think are just locks to make this roster are obviously Devontae, MVS, Alan Lazard, and Amari Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Right there you have four. And then I'm finishing my wide receiver group with Devin Funchess, who I said last year I think would make a contribution even after opting out, and throughout following him on Instagram, Twitter, the guy looks ridiculously in shape. Matt LaFleur spoke very highly of him. He's a veteran. He's a big guy. Someone can be useful in the red zone. So I know a lot of people think Funchess won't make the roster, I've been seeing on Twitter, but I think he will. And then the sixth one is where I really went back and forth between EQ and who was my other option? Look, I ended up going with EQ. That's, I guess, what's most important. But that sixth receiver spot was what was really the one that tripped me up the most. I just want to see real quick if I had – Yeah, so I was looking at him, and then I was looking at, you know, basically Malik Taylor and Begelton. But Begelton didn't make the roster last year. Malik Taylor only had five catches. And I think EQ, even though he's been hurt a lot, he's shown enough potential when healthy that they'll want him back.
I actually ended up keeping seven, and I took them both.
Same.
There's just something about Malik Taylor that I want to see more of him. And we get these little tease flashes of him, and hopefully that they can just find a way to incorporate him more. And I just think that we haven't seen what Malik Taylor can really bring. And I think they're going to see something in him, and they obviously keep bringing him back for a reason. So hopefully he gets to be a little bit more involved in the offense this year.
I think the biggest benefit for Malik Taylor is he's a special teams guy. That's I think really the biggest reason he's been able to stick around as long as he has is because he puts in the time on the special teams, especially as Gunner.
Is really going to take over a special teams role this year.
I think Amari Rodgers takes over those like the return roles and stuff like that, but like gunning, kickoff coverage, stuff like that. Like Malik Taylor has a spot there if he can keep grinding it out.
He's obviously working hard enough to be able to keep a spot,
right?
Whether it's as a receiver, special teams, and he does get those moments. And I mean, Rodgers has seemed to enjoy throwing to him, you know, in those flashes. So he seems like he can trust him. So I think says a little something.
Real quick, I could be wrong, but I feel like the Packers very rarely keep seven receivers on the roster. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's usually six. And also, obviously, look, this is not a shot at Malik Taylor, because like Jen said, I do like him and I would want to see more of him. And if he didn't make the roster, I would expect him to be on the practice squad, if not signed by another team. But, you know, to say that, you know, he's valuable because of his value on special teams, I know it's not all his fault, but let's not pretend like we had a very good coverage unit, both punts and kicks last year. And I know it takes 11 men, but if it comes down to, you know, we're keeping six receivers, I think they would prefer to go with the guy who might be able to contribute more on offense than the guy who has the role on special teams. And he could be a good – truth is, I don't know. Maybe he's a great gunner and tackler, but just overall the unit was awful. So I just find that a hard justification.
Yeah. Keeping him. I think
– you have been less reliable, though, in the sense of being healthy. So you could also –
That's the thing. He has been hurt a lot, which does not help.
And I think the thing, too, to keep in mind is we're trying to do these after basically essentially like six non-padded – workouts, right. You know, because I'm with you, Eli. If you could go out in training camp and you find a wide receiver that's able to contribute more offensively and be a better special teams guy than Malik Taylor, like I'm all for it. You know, like but that's the thing is I caught myself doing that a lot too. Is not trying to project of what the Packers might do come training camp or you know in the next couple of weeks leading up to training camp, like just based off of what we saw in OTAs. Malik Taylor still has a spot as of right now, but he's definitely that's a major bubble spot for him right there. Another one that's I think a little bit questionable or maybe not tight end group. I think this one may be a little bit more controversial than I'm thinking, but I don't know.
Well, I think it would have been more controversial last week, I guess, if you pick up what I'm saying. I think if all five of Tonyan, Mercedes, DeGuara, Sternberger, and Daphne were all available, you would have to make a tough decision because it's highly unlikely the team keeps five tight ends. But for now, with Sternberger suspended for the first two games, I have Tonyan, Lewis, DeGuara, and Daphne. And then when Sternberger comes back, it's anyone's guess, but I'll keep saying it till he's off the team or out of the league. I love Jay Sternberger. I think he's going to be good, and he just needs some time to develop.
Yeah, I also had him keeping all five. I mean, DeGuara, he's coming off injury. We haven't really got to see much from him, obviously, but he's working hard in training camp and the rehab stuff, so I assume that they keep him. Daphne can kind of be a hybrid offensive player, offensive threat, so I assume they would keep him for those reasons. Lewis won't see the field as much, but again, he's more of a leader, locker room presence kind of guy, and you'll see flashes of him every now and then, but I mean, Sternberg, yeah, the whole suspension thing, it's tough. I just think that there's a lot that he has to offer. He's the most athletic tight end, I would argue, out of this group. And then Tonyan, obviously there's something that works with Tonyan that makes him a phenomenal tight end. He doesn't look like a freak athlete out there, but whatever he's doing it's working. So you can't not keep him. So yeah, I just think they all bring very different things this year. So it's hard to say who they would go with and who they would. So I'm just going to say they keep all five because they all have very different roles right now.
And that's obviously, but I'm saying, let's just say week three, Sternberger comes back. You're saying they stick still with five tight ends on the roster?
Well, it also depends on, we haven't seen anything from DeGuara. Like, what's he going to look like?
Oh, that's true. I mean, I guess, well, I mean, he did get hurt in week two. I would hope, if we're speculating Bakhtiari to be ready sometime soonish, I would hope
DeGuara is ready to play week one. Being able to go out and perform high level.
I understand. I'm saying, but DeGuara is not going to get cut, is what I'm saying. And he should be on the active roster, barring injury, for most of the year. So I guess just
so do you in my head, see them not bringing back Sternberger?
What?
So you see them not bringing back Sternberger?
No, I think they are going to bring back. But I'm just saying, when Sternberger comes back and he's on the active roster and he's no longer suspended, you're going to have five tight ends, which is very uncommon. And I don't think they would stick with us. So I think if Sternberger came back from the suspension, it's very possible we could see Daphne go back to the practice squad or something along those lines.
I mean, yeah, out of the four, he'd be the one most likely to make a roster move come that time. But we also, who knows what he'll be doing. And, like, it also depends on who they're playing, how they're looking, what kind of schemes they want to run. So, I mean, I think Daphne brings that hybrid player to him. So it all depends on kind of how they want to utilize him. And maybe they throw him on special teams. I don't know. But, yeah, I just, as of right now, I just see them keeping those five.
I agree. I think it's not as uncommon in this style of offense, because you're gonna, if Lewis, Tonyan, and DeGuara are basically your three that you're gonna run, if you run like a three tight end kind of set, Daphne kind of comes in as a spot fill in, and Sternberger, him and Sternberger both kind of seem very specialized, and I think what they, again, like we said with Malik Taylor, I think both have roles on special teams if they can work it out. And I think Sternberger, I believe in his comeback. I think if he really truly commits to this team after, you know, the incident that he had, he came out very public about it. Obviously, it sounded like it was very public or very upfront with the Packers organization about it. I think that there's roles for all five of those players, maybe just not always on the offense. I think Sternberger comes in and plays sort of a pseudo wide receiver role in there as well. And I know that ends up being seven wide receivers already, but I think there's roles for all these guys out here. They just can do too much.
How about this, Dan? Come, you know, active game day roster, I believe, is what, 47 or 49?
49.
So if, let's say, all five were healthy at the time.
Yeah.
You think on the average week, all five would be active on your basically on a weekly basis, barring something very strange or a very strange opponent? I don't know. I don't remember the last time.
Yeah. No,
tight ends on a game day roster. Again, I could be wrong, and I do like all five of the players. That's why I said Daphne would. You know, Daphne could end up doing what he did last year. One week he's on the roster. One week he's back in the practice squad. The next week he's on the team. It's just in my head. I just couldn't see myself keeping five tight ends from start to finish. So that's why I thought the Sternberger suspension, while obviously sucks, made it a little bit more simpler to make this roster for now. And then when he's back, I guess we'll see what they do.
Offensive line. Let's go to our last offensive position group here. I think we just assume with this, Bakhtiari obviously has a roster spot waiting for him. So I include him in just my roster. I ended up with eight offensive linemen. Your starting line of Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers, Lucas Patrick, and Billy Turner. And then I've got Runyon, Ben Braden, and Royce Newman as your other three on there. Does that differ from what you guys have, or is that do you have more or less, Jenna?
You were just combining all of them, centers, guards, tackles.
Yeah. I just took the whole offensive line as one group.
Okay. Mine aren't all right next to each other on my list, so I'm just going to go through. So obviously I had Josh Myers. I had Elton Jenkins. I had Lucas Patrick.
Is that hand written notes, teacher?
What?
Are you reading off?
Are you flipping notes?
Well, I just printed off the roster.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't remember. So, that's old school. I did have John Runyon, Billy Turner, and then tackles. I had obviously Bakhtiari. I had, okay, I'm going to mispronounce his name. Yosh.
Yash Nijman. I love Yash. Yeah, I called him last year and he made it. It was awesome.
Newman and Van Lennon. So I wasn't even counting.
So yeah, how many was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gotta go back now. 6, 7, 8, 9. I had 9.
Yeah, so I
always think you should run heavy with the offensive line.
Yeah, I had 9.
I have 9. I thought I was going to hit double digits with that one.
Yeah, I had 9 also. The starting line, just like you guys said, Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers, Patrick, Turner, and then as depth. And look, Runyon could beat out Patrick. I think that's fully possible, but for now we'll roll like that. And then for depth, you got Runyon, Royce Newman, Ben Braden, and then Cole Van Lanen as the 9th. I really wanted to push Yosh Nijman back into this roster for a number of reasons. Number one, I really like him. Number two, I had him my 53-man last year, and it worked, and I was like the only one, and I felt very proud. But he never ended up playing. I know there wasn't – I mean, there were some injuries, but we never really got to see him, and they just drafted Van Lanen. I know it doesn't mean much considering where they drafted him. But for now, I'm going to go with Van Lanen making that last spot, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was Nijman.
Yeah, I love Nijman too. I think just my thought process behind this is just getting those offensive linemen that can do multiple things and are excelling at that. Braden got a lot of look at both of the tackle spots at OTAs. Royce Newman basically has played kind of across the entire line.
I love Royce.
Me too. And I really debated putting putting Cole in there as well. But something in me just says that he's
Cole Madison? Just,
or no, what's Van Lanen.
Cole Van Lanen. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, did I forget his name?
No, I just blanked out. Look, I had the guy in my roster.
Yeah. Van Lanen, I don't have as much faith in that as it feels too storybook for me.
That's what I was about to say. Like,
you know what I mean?
At the same time, it would also be so damn sad if he got cut after growing up in Green Bay, drafted by the Packers and cut.
But part of you guys probably don't watch. I know, Dan, you're an Ohio State fan, whatever, but Eli, you're what, Notre Dame? Like, I watching Wisconsin football, I know that they build those offensive linemen differently. So I see him making that cut because I just know he comes from a school that really focuses on that position group. And I think, you know, given his storyline, I think that also motivates him to work a little bit harder because he wants it, because, you know, this is the team. It's where he grew up. It's what he wants. It's like, it's too good of a dream to not work your butt off to try and get that roster spot. So I think it's not just, oh, it's a feel-good story, he'll make the roster. I think, you know, he comes from a school that really focuses and has a very successful offensive line, and he also has that extra motivation to get that position, to get that spot. So I do see him making the cut for some of those reasons, just kind of knowing where he comes from and that kind of stuff.
All right. let's flip over to the defensive side, and let's go right across the line to the defensive line. Again, I think in my mind, I have three that I would say are surefire. Like, would, no matter what, I would have on this list. And then I think you could kind of play a little fast and loose with some of the other ones on here. So I'm interested to see where you guys go with this, especially since we've got our offenses all set now. So now we know exactly how many spots on defense we've got to play with. So Eli, let's start with you. Defensive line, how do you see that going?
So I'm going to make a guess that your three automatics were Clark, Kiki, and Slayton.
Okay.
That's what I assumed. And yeah, I'm with you there. And then Lowry and Lancaster, I assume, are the other two that you're talking about. Lancaster, I'm sorry, I don't know why they gave him another deal. I get depth. I get maybe he's a run stuffer. I don't know. Doesn't say it in the stat sheet. I don't see it on the film. I never truly understood why they continue to bring him back. And I wasn't going to put him on this list, but 2 weeks ago he just got a deal, it would see, it just seemed like, I guess they like him, they must keep him on the team. And then Dean Lowry, I felt the same way, but they go and they restructure his deal, you know, turn some of it into a signing bonus, this, that, to make it easier to keep him on the team, which leads me to believe, just like Lancaster, they're going to keep him. If it was up to me, I think both of these guys would have been gone probably before the start of last season, literally. And they should have signed a vet or drafted someone earlier. I'm not a fan, really, of either Dean Lowry or Tyler Lancaster, but considering there aren't really other options, my five defensive linemen are Clark, Kiki, Slayton, Lowry, and Lancaster.
All right. Yeah, I had those exact same names circled. I kind of felt weird circling Kiki. I was like, I feel like there's something more. No, like,
I'm excited about him.
What? Yeah.
I'm very excited about him.
No, I am. I just feel, I was like, you know what? Hopefully we can see, because, you know, I've been kind of like a, hopefully I'm thinking of the right person, but just kind of seems like there's been flashes. But I mean, same with Lancaster and Lowry. It's like, okay, they're here, they're good depth, but are they, should they be more depth than actually starting? So I'm hoping, you know, just out of those three, because obviously he's Kenny Clark. And then Slayton coming in, you drafted him for this reason. So you're kind of hoping he gets starts over those three guys. But I don't know. Those three, yeah, just kind of, they make me nervous. I have question marks by them. But I'm hoping that, you know, new defensive coordinator, maybe it helps to break out their game and what we're not seeing and maybe what they're seeing, which is why they're keeping him.
Yeah, one quick point on Kiki, Jen. When you said, you know, he showed some flash, it's actually weird. Last year, he finished the season with 4 sacks. And all 4 came in 2 games. So against New Orleans and Philly, he had 2 sacks each. And the rest of the year, he really wasn't all that impactful. So like you said, it seems like he kind of comes out and bursts in different games and can maybe take advantage of a specific matchup against a specific team. But overall, just like kind of, you know, tight ends, middle linebackers, interior defensive linemen usually take a couple years to develop. And I think learning from Kenny Clark, year 3 could be a big one for Kiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. I definitely hope to be able to see some kind of jump from him.
Yeah, I definitely second the opinion on Kingsley Kiki. Big fan of his. And I'm with you too, Eli. You know, the Lancaster and Lowry thing. I've got Heflin on here as sort of a borderline one. I've been kind of going back and forth the whole time. The rookie out of Iowa, Northern Illinois. I mean, just a big beefy dude like that. That's something that they're missing in that middle, is just a big heavy guy. Right. That's Slayton.
He's a tree. Yeah. The guy's gigantic.
Right. And so that's why I'm so on the border with it, because I could totally see a guy like maybe if this was last year where they didn't just hand out contracts to Lowry and Lancaster. But maybe there's a spot for Heflin on here somewhere, and I'd love to see him in here. But I think, yeah, just sticking with those 5, if you're looking at just what we've seen so far, it's going to be hard for him to beat out, you know, a fairly high touted rookie and 4 veterans, 3 guys that, you know, have had tons of experience, you know, here. But again, with defense too, we don't know where Joe Barry goes with this. Maybe he values that a little bit more and you know, sacrifices at a different position. The outside linebacker group, I think this one for me is fairly easy coming in right now. I think there's a spot for it.
Linebackers together.
Okay.
Larger edge than linebacker. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, edge linebacker. I mean, it's the Smiths, it's Garvin, and it's Gary. That's how I see those 4. I don't know who else right now at this moment. Maybe someone comes in at camp and competes for a role or competes for a spot, but those 4 on the edge, that's where I don't really see a lot of gray area with it. What do you guys think?
I have those 4, Smith, Gary, and Garvin, but just like last year, and this all came off of one day of me going to Packers training camp, but when I saw Randy Ramsey in person, I wasn't sure what I was even looking at. The guy, he made Mercedes Lewis look like a regular sized person. He is gigantic. He is super strong and fast. I predicted him last year to make the roster. He did. We didn't see him play a lot, but he made the 53-man, and I have him doing it again this year. So I have five edges. So that's, I guess, where we where we're different. I'm not going to try to say differentiate because it doesn't sound good.
Janelle?
Yeah, I don't really know because obviously I just printed out the roster, so I wasn't paying attention to edges and middle linebackers and stuff like that.
Let's open up to linebacker as a whole because I want to say I have Randy Ramsey listed as an inside linebacker, so I have him on the roster. Okay. So I do have Ramsey in there.
I'm starting to realize I went pretty scarce with numbers on the linebacker position. Looking over, it's like, wow, okay, I obviously did this position last when I went through it because I ended up with – I kept Chris Barnes, Devondre Campbell, Gary, obviously, Kamal Martin, McDuffie, and then the Smiths.
So from your list, the only guys missing from your list that are on mine are Ramsey and Garvin.
Yeah.
See, I have, again, I have
not paying attention to specific positions, but
I have Ty Summers and Oren Burks still making the squad. By the way,
I do have Summers, but I actually don't have Burks. And
I didn't have Burks, and I also, you know, Summers if he comes in for special team purposes,
Yeah, well, I think that's Ty Summers and Oren Burks. Those are two special teams heroes, you know. Yeah, and they get listed on the linebacker group. But like my whole thing is just Joe Barry apparently favors, you know, a lot of linebacker position, you know, favors the linebacker group, wants to see production out of the middle there. And so having that guy, I will say Oren Burks, that's a real, if he didn't make this roster, I wouldn't cry about it.
No, you wouldn't miss all 11 career tackles.
I know.
But no, I did forget that I had Summers, mostly because of special teams, and it was between him and Burks, but I know Burks was a third round pick and he's supposed to be some kind of, you know, he's crazy athletic, but you're coming into year four and we've seen nothing, not just like maybe one good game here, one good game there.
Right.
I have not seen a single play of Oren Burks. Like I have thousands and thousands of video clips in my computer, as you see me posting daily on Twitter. I could probably search right now outside of his college film. I don't know if I have a single play of Burks because I don't know if anything jumped off the screen at me. While Summers, he may not be some athletic freak, but he's reliable in special teams, and he seems to have a good head on him, where if he was thrust into any kind of middle linebacker position, he could kind of – maybe he won't have a ton of production, but he could run the defense in terms of calling plays and getting it done that way.
Yeah, yeah. There is some, like, if Ty Summers makes the roster, I won't be upset about it. There's something likable about him. I just don't think that he.
I think it's an underdog story, you know, seventh round PCU. Well,
you need those kind of guys on special. Like, you need just those kind of hard nosed like bodies, essentially.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but you know, kind of throwaway bodies that you can put into any situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean. I hope that he makes it. I'm just not sure, you know, if there's somebody else that they can kind of just throw into that position if they feel, you know, we've got a better option who maybe won't cost as much money and stuff like that. So just kind of those considerations when you're looking at guys who might just be special team spots.
Let's look two more groups here moving into the second. Do we want to look at the secondary as a whole or
I split them up just to make it.
I did. Okay, me too. So let's start with cornerbacks. Again, I think a few right at the top that are surefires, and I want to see how we play out the rest of the way. I ended up with 7 overall on my cornerback list. Where do you guys go, Janelle?
I had 6.
Okay.
Also
6, Eli?
Yeah.
So here's who I've got. I've got
Jair. I was Dan kept Josh Jackson.
I did keep Josh Jackson.
We did not.
So I've got Jair Alexander. I've got Kevin King, Stokes, Shannon Sullivan, Josh Jackson, Ento, and I've also got Gene Charles in there, the rookie. I love him. He's my crush. He's my camp crush. I think he's gonna. I think he comes in to camp and he just explodes. So that's who I've got. Those are my 7. So where do you guys differ?
Go ahead, Jen. Eli, you go.
No, go. I've been stealing the spotlight far too long. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, obviously Alexander. I had Kadar Holman, Shamar Jean Charles, Kevin King, Eric Stokes, and Chandon Sullivan.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm identical with Jen, with Jair King, Stokes, Sullivan, Jean Charles, and Holman. I get your call with Ento because number one, he has shown some special teams capabilities, but when Kadar Holman, and specifically, I remember, I think it was week three against the Falcons or week four against the Falcons when Jair got hurt, he played the second half. And in just the second half, he had like three pass breakups, super physical, very fast. So I think he makes it as the final corner. So I have six, yeah, with Holman rounding out that group.
All right. I think out of all of them, if Gene Charles is the one that that's who I want to see the most stick around. Yeah. If you made the decision to get rid of Josh Jackson and to replace him with whoever you want, that's fine with me. You know, I keep Josh Jackson around just because I think that he's sort of like this little project that everyone keeps talking about with Joe Barry coming in. Is he going to be turned around? You know, last chance kind of thing. And so that's just where I go with that.
When they took Josh Jackson, like the night before they took Jair, I was more than happy with Jackson in the first round. Josh Jackson was like a huge draft crush of mine. We got him. I was jumping up and down, and I hated leaving him off this list. But if you can't even be good enough where they're going to put you in a uniform on Sundays,
right?
Then that's just hard for me.
Well, and Kevin King is already kind of that project guy this year with the prove it deal. So I think it's hard to have two guys where it's like, okay, you know, there's something there. I think Kevin King is the better of those two, which is why Kevin King signs that small deal, and I just don't see Jackson. Jackson will probably get picked up by somebody, but yeah. He hasn't done anything that makes me think, you know, oh, this is the year, you know. So if so be it, then I hope that he goes out there and proves me wrong, is a stud, but I just, you know, I'm kind of over it at this point. My hopes are done. And
my hopes is at this point with him. Jen, you should change your bio. My hopes are done.
My hopes are done.
put that on a tombstone.
Yeah.
last group here, safety. I think this one's pretty easy as well. I've got four coming in. Do you guys see it the same? I think it's Savage, Amos, Vernon Scott, and I think Will Redmond still sticks around. As of right now, I think he's kind of put himself on the outside looking in when it comes to how do I want to say this? Like with the coaching staff now, I don't think he's their favorite player. And so I think he's sort of got an uphill battle to kind of win that back if he gets into a training camp battle. But as of right now, Will Redmond kind of seems to be a guy to just fill in that fourth and final role, just fill in that spot.
So I had those same four, but I also had Henry Black.
Okay.
There's something that I love about Henry Black, and I think we got to see bits and pieces of what he can do, and I'm hoping that his game can just elevate enough to, I mean, obviously don't see him in a starting role, but just, you know, one of those guys who can come in and make a play here and there. There's something about him that I really hope we get to see more of.
Yeah, I'm with Jen on that one. I have four also, but I actually do not have Scott. I have Black. That was probably my biggest back and forth on this whole list.
Really?
Scott versus Henry Black. And I don't know what it was. Just my gut was pushing me towards Black. I know he didn't play a ton, but when he did, he looked like he knew exactly what he was doing. I know Scott was a draft pick. Black was undrafted. But look, Scott wasn't drafted this year. I believe he was a sixth or seventh round pick last year. So it's not like, you know, they've invested a ton into him. I still think he would maybe end up on the practice squad or, you know, where you could see him and Black maybe be interchangeable. But if I could keep both, I would have. I ran out of numbers, so I went with Black. But, yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all if Scott got that spot instead or there was some kind of back and forth if neither of them were showing clearly that they should be there.
I think that all makes sense. And yeah, that's the thing is right now this whole roster, you could make arguments, I think, for a lot of any of our fringe players that we all were kind of differing on. I think you can easily make cases for all of those people because of where we are at the after OTAs, you know, basically a week or so of non-contact practices. Things will get much more clear as we get into training camp, but I like that we did this now to see where our rosters sit at this point, and then we can kind of compare once we start getting into training camp and see how that kind of that 53-man roster evolves. So this was a fun thing to do. I'm hoping that everyone else enjoyed it as well. Let us know on Twitter what you think of our rosters, what we've said at Packaday Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and review, all of that great stuff. You can find all three of us on Twitter as well. Guys, do you want to let them know where you are and anything you want to promote this week, Janelle?
Yeah, so obviously you can find me on Twitter at BigMac_4. Anything I do, it'll end up there. But you can also obviously follow Packaday Podcast and every Wednesday with Zach and Eli over on Game On Wisconsin for Open Book, live at 7 o'clock Central. I also have, say it again, the First Line Podcast for hockey. For those of you who stick with me through hockey season or want to hear me talk about that, that's where you can find that. And I also have the Minds of the Game with Brandon Bostic. That is also SIA Mind Game. I think that should be it.
All right. Eli?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL. Obviously follow Packaday as well at Packaday Podcast. Make sure to check out me and Jen and Zachary Jacobson every Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Open Book for Game On Wisconsin. And feel free to subscribe to my YouTube page at Ellie Berkovitz. And if you want some more in-depth film breakdowns, you could go over to Patreon, and I have an account there also under Eli Berkovitz. And I would love any subscribers. I think you'd really like the content I put out there. And that's just about it, Dan.
Very cool. I'm on Twitter as well, at DK All The Way. You can find me there. I've just started up writing a weekly think piece / just whatever the heck is kind of coming out of my head piece for Game On Wisconsin every Friday. So you can check that out over there. And then obviously every other Tuesday here with these two here on the Packaday Podcast. Guys, until next time, I don't think we won't talk until after the 4th of July. So have a happy holiday. Have a happy holiday weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And until we talk again, guys, take it easy and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.